Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. Hello, everyone who want to learn more about sales. Welcome. Today we have a special episode. We can learn more about sales, especially today when we have AI. Many things can be done much faster with quality. It's very important to pay attention to personalization, and AI can help a lot with that. I'm so excited to discuss all this topic with Wes Schaffer. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, big pleasure to get you back. You spoke 2 times on my podcast. All the time I get a lot of engagement. People are curious how to get more sales. Even we chatted a little bit before the podcast. It's a hot topic for me as well, because for now I'm looking for ways how to sell subscriptions on my AI agent on yonmiz.com. It's a great tool, but I remember when Brandon said about exploding topics when he bought this tool, the previous founder had the same struggle. He couldn't sell. And Brian Dean thought, okay, I can sell. I'm Brian Dean. Everyone knows me. But he didn't. So he spent some time to find the way how to sell. Yeah. It was a big struggle, even for big influencers like him. So I'm on the same position. And I know many of my people who can listen to this podcast also are looking for ways how to sell. Wes, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in sales since 97 when I got out of the Air Force, and started my own thing in 2006, and a lot of time in high tech. In 2007, I started selling SaaS, you know, different platforms, marketing automation, email marketing, e-commerce, affiliate marketing, you know, helping the small and medium businesses streamline their processes. And because I work with companies in an overlapping fashion. I don't just sell them the software, you know, I help them get their message right. Because until you get the right message, marketing doesn't really help you. You know, if you don't have processes in place, you know, if I hand you 100 great prospects today that are buying, you know, this week, most people couldn't handle it. You know, they don't have systems in place to reach out, set appointments, maybe have a few qualifying or disqualifying questions along the way, so you can identify the truly hot ones, the tire kickers. And so they just keep buying software and subscribing to things. And when they're desperate, thinking, oh, I need this, I need that. And that's how people end up with all these subscriptions, crushing their cash flow. You know, they have tools they don't know how to use. And they're still not making sales, you know? So I always tell people technology is like using salt when you cook. If you put too much salt in, you ruin the meal. You can't get the salt out, right? So you're better off putting in a little bit and keep tasting it. You know, the same with technology. Find out the core things that you need. Start there, optimize it. And then if there's a gap, then you know what to plug in. But most people, they buy too much stuff, think it's going to save them, and all they end up with are subscriptions that just crush their cash flow.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I agree. I think all people in the world should read this book from Dale Carnegie. He wrote this book like almost 100 years ago, but a lot of great insights there for modern digital marketing and sales process, because what I can see, I get plus 100 messages a day. People who don't care about me, who don't care about my pain points, who don't care about what I wanna get. They just wanna sell something to me. I get the messages, okay, take my guest post. I'm good with that, I'm great with that. I don't care you're good or great. I wanna to solve my problems. So, and Dale Carnegie wrote about it many years ago. He explained you need to listen to customers. You need to understand them, because everyone is selfish. So, Wes, what do you think about such insights? How to learn customers today? How to get their pain points before crafting this message?
Well, I keep saying, you know, humanity is the next killer app. You know, there's so much technology out there, and people are just spammed. We need to remember there's a human being on the other end of the screen. you know, there's a human with fears and concerns and worries and doubts and goals and dreams. And, you know, how are you helping them? You know, how is corresponding with you going to help improve their lives? And so I don't think enough people really think that through. You know, what is the real differentiator in your solution? You know, because if you do all the same things your competitor does, then, you know, and I have your competitor's tool, why do I need yours? Why do I switch? Switching is hard, you know? So if I'm switching, you've got to position yourself in such a way that gets my attention, that that pain is worth it, the pain of transition. If I don't have your tool, then I'm not fully aware of the problems that you solve. I'm not fully aware that I have the problems, okay? Because it's just like, you know, some, you know, 10, 20,000 people a day, whatever, die of a heart attack. Doctors can't call and say, hey, Anatoly, you should come in today. You might have a heart attack. You're like, I feel fine. I just went to the gym. I don't need to come in. A friend of mine who is a doctor, 37 years old, had a heart attack doing one of those Tough Mudder kind of runs. And fortunately, his dad was with him. And his dad's a dentist, so a medical professional, rushed him to the ER, and he had that, they call the widow maker, right? So it was, if his dad wasn't with him, if he wasn't a doctor himself, he would have died. Okay, 37 years old. Yeah. So how do you make people aware that they're at risk? You know, because maybe there were signs. You know, so in your marketing, in your outreach, when you're speaking with them, you have to bring up questions. Hey, how, you know, have you been feeling, you know, more lethargic lately? You know, are you cutting your exercises short? Are you noticing, you know, shortness of breath, pain in your chest, maybe pain in your ribs, pain in your back, which seems like an odd place, blah, blah, blah. So you bring up questions, you got to make them go, huh, yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. So by asking questions, our job in sales really is to ask questions that our prospects can't answer.
Yeah.
Because if I know the answer, why do I need you? But when you ask questions they can't answer, you prove your competency because you know enough to ask about that and inquire, and you get them thinking, because people don't change their minds. Okay. They'll make a new decision when they get new information, but they're not really changing their mind.
Yeah.
Right. You can't just force them. You buy my stuff, it's better. You got to ask questions. Hey, when this happens, you know, are you paying, you know, $300 a month for some software? And yet, you know, it's hard to use. You can't share information. You got to add a new user to get them to contribute or collaborate with you. You know, is it tough sharing it with clients? You know, do you have to go, but you have to do exports and manipulate the data, you know, in another program and bring it back in, and, you know, different things. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Would you like to fix that? How frustrating is that to you? You know, now they go, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is a pain in the butt. You know, what if I could streamline your process, you know, 50%, and it costs 50% less to do it? What? You know, now you got their attention. So you gotta position it in terms of what are they worried about? What are they interested in? You know, and why are you different?
Yeah, you remind me of this movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. Sell me this pen, you know, when people try to sell the pen, but they need to ask questions. Do you use pens? Probably people don't use pens. So if they don't use pens, that means they are not your target audience. You know, just leave it.
For sure.
Yeah. And Wes, let me share a short story. Basically, a few weeks ago, I got 4 emails from Neil Patel Digital. And he asked me, not Neil Patel, someone from his team asked me, sure, about some experts who can speak on this podcast. So they proposed Good experts, by the way.
They're recognizing you. They're finding you.
Yeah, they phoned me and proposed me experts who can speak on this podcast. Honestly, I check out these experts. By the way, good people, real good
sure,
experts.
Feels good. Yeah, I
didn't reply to these emails because I'm still waiting for sequences. I want to know follow-ups because I'm a marketer. You know, I need to learn approaches what people can use. So to convince me, that is why I'm silent by now. But what I found on these emails, it's not human written. It's not cold email. It's between AI personalization. I can call it AI personalization because all these four emails are totally the same. And I think like AI learned a little bit about me to personalize this first. Two sentences in the first paragraph to say, yeah. Oh, we like your podcast. I think that was written by AI, but they explained a little bit about my podcast and then started to tell, okay, we have great experts who can speak on this podcast. And I can score these emails probably from 7 to 10. So it's not like cold email 5 to 10 and not well-written personalized email. Like 8 or 9 to 10, probably even 10. So because it takes time to learn more about recipients, to find real pain points and craft a great email. I know it's hard, it's not simple. But I asked my team to use this approach in email marketing because we use cold email outreach, and we paid around $30 for 10,000 emails. So we paid for API Claude Sonnet 4.5. to use this API to learn 10,000 people for $30, and we send these messages. I don't have still results. I'm keep trying this method. But what do you think about AI personalization today? Is it a good idea or not? Any opinion?
I mean, most of it's pretty bad. It's very predictable. I mean, you can see that it is. I tell people all the time, I've done this, you know, I've sold software and I've helped people use it, you know, and it's for doing a lot of outbound or at least nurturing. Maybe it's an inbound lead, but then they ask for a report, but then you got to drip on them and get them to raise their hand, right? And so most of my follow-up with people is very short. 99 times out of 100, it's text-based, no images, don't include a bunch of links. Don't put your logo at the top all big and bold and, you know, in their face. So to make it more like you're sending a message to your friend, you know, and the messages are short and sweet. People don't read a bunch of stuff, especially if it's cold, they didn't ask for it. And then when you try to, you know, make it cute, I mean, I get these every day too. Hi, Wes, really enjoying Wes Schaefer - the Sales Whisperer - the Sales Podcast. I really like your recent episode. And they'll list something from, you know, 6 months ago. And I'm like, dude, you know, it's crap. And so just send something short and sweet. You know, hey, would you like to be a guest, or, you know, can I have you as a guest on my show? Here's a link. You know, you can check it out. Because opens are not very accurate, but clicks are. So have something that piques their interest, track that link click, because those that click are much more interested. So then you have a delay timer. You know, they clicked, then now did they schedule time? Did they hit a contact us? If they didn't, you know, wait 30 minutes, wait an hour, have another follow-up go out, you know? So you got to think through that. But in all of the writing that I do for people on their outbound, they're all short and sweet with links to drive them to your website, to a landing page, to a blog, to a podcast interview, something, you know, and get them, you know, entice them to learn more, prove that you're different by being different. Don't overwhelm them. You know, we all get a lot of emails, and even things that I want to read, I'm like, I've got a lot of stuff going on and I may not get to it. So you need to have multiple follow-ups plugged in, okay? And because people, they're not always ignoring you. We're just all busy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can send a very similar message each time, but I would tweak it a little bit. I tell people, you know, hit a few high points. You know, I always use an example of like a chiropractor. You know, they could send a message saying, you know, hey, Anatoly, you know, do you suffer from headaches? You know, maybe in the middle of the night, maybe, you know, during the day, maybe when you're hungry, maybe after you eat, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's ways, you know, if you're interested in alleviating headaches without medicine, without surgery, click here to and see, you know, some ways we help. A couple of days later, hey, Anatoly, you know, the other day we talked about, you know, alleviating headaches, but a lot of people, you know, upwards of 80% of people have back pain, you know, either an old injury or we just sit too much. You know, would you like to get more mobility, alleviate back pain, you know, without surgeries, without, you know, complicated procedures, without pain meds, blah, 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 click here. Okay. And then a couple of days later, hey, you know, you want to get in better health. You know, would you like to lose 10, 15, 20 pounds or more? Would you like to do it naturally without chemical? So I'm hitting this thing up. Oh yeah. I want to lose weight. You know, I don't have headaches. You know, I do have back pain, but you know, so you hit a few high points, and one of them hopefully resonates. If you got the right audience, then you know one of those is going to hit.
Yeah.
So, but each of those messages are short and sweet with a link to more information. Now let them go deep.
Yeah.
You know, and you steer their discovery.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you got to think ahead on this.
Nice. Wes, I want to ask about finding the right channel or probably even the right tool. Because, for example, what I can see when new products, when companies launch new products, they're looking for ways how to sell it. I got a few requests, for example, to use cold email outreach, LinkedIn outreach, SEO, paid marketing, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, many channels, but without having success even with one channel, without having success. So, I see when people are trying to do many things, especially with limited resources, they usually fail. So, can you tell how to find this one channel that can bring results or choose the best possible channel?
Well, like we were talking about before we hit record, you know, reach out to your best customers. You know, ideally you have a few people paying you. Get to know them very well. How do they find you? How do they consume information today? You know, what channels are they on? Because you're right. It's like people... our prospects are not everywhere and you can't be everywhere. Okay. So, and I see this all the time. I see a company go to their website. They'll have all their social media links at the top. I'm a fan of having them at the bottom, but they'll have everything at the top and you click, it'll open in the same page. So now they're gone. You just lost that prospect. Right. They click on Facebook and now they're going down a rabbit hole and they forgot they even came to your website. So at a minimum, open it in a new tab. Right. But then I'll click on it and it takes me to their Instagram, you know, and they have 7 followers. They've done 3 posts and they haven't done anything in a year. So I'm like, remove that from your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no benefit to anybody to be linking to that. Okay. So, and you don't have to be everywhere. I've got clients, you know, in the coffee business, estate planning attorney, commercial insurance, commercial contractors, none of them need social media. You know, some facilities director, you know, at a big, you know, commercial plant, that, you know, needs to renovate a building, or, you know, the guy, you know, works for a real estate mogul, you know, and they have 50 properties, and you know, every month they've got to renovate, you know, 10 of them for new clients, you know, tenant improvements. That dude is not hanging out on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat to get a referral to find a commercial contractor to come, you know, do new plumbing in their building. Okay. So all of them, you know, I help them put outbound cadences together, find these customers, understand exactly who you're going after. And look, in all these instances, it's a different message if they reach out to the CEO versus the CFO versus the COO, you know, versus the VP of operations or HR. It's a different message on that outreach. Okay. So yeah, stop trying to be everywhere. You know, first create a powerful message. Most people do not have a powerful message. You know, you'll see realtors, we make the American dream possible. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Right? I mean, Shark Tank, they make the American dream possible. So are you a shark? You know, are you an investor? You know, financial advisor, they make the American dream possible. I don't know. Could a banker say, I make the American dream possible? You know, we fund good businesses. So what does that mean? You know, but that's most people. You know, we help you grow your sales through SEO, through sales training, through CRMs. Yeah. I mean, what? Marketing? What does that mean? So people have these bland messages and they think they're just going to throw it out there and people are just going to jump on it. You know, and what you're doing is training the market to ignore you. Okay. You've got to be brave enough to have a brave, strong, powerful message that makes people sit up and take notice and go, you know, what the hell are you talking about? How do you do that? What does that mean? You know, because we're all busy. You know, I got my iPhone right here, got my iPad charging, I got two screens, you know, I got stuff going on. So I got WhatsApp pinging me. I got my text messages pinging me. I got Facebook Messenger pinging me. Got email coming in, phone calls I'm muting. Why do I pay attention to what you just sent me? I don't know you.
Yeah.
Now you want me to stop what I'm doing, read your, you know, 12-page email, you know, click on your website, opt in for a 2-hour demo. Like, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
It ain't happening.
12-page email. I never get that, but I don't know, probably someone can write. But yeah. By the way, I spoke with one sales guy. He's very good on that. So, and he told me that most people use short emails, but he found success in long emails, not like 12 pages, but long email. So he can write stories
if someone opted in. I send long emails in my daily email.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not cold.
Yeah, of course.
You've opted in for it, okay? If it's cold,
yeah,
you need to be, you got to get them to click. Now, once they click, you could have a whole different funnel that starts to send longer emails because they've expressed them. They've opened it, they read it, they clicked. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's different. You know, the cold emails should be shorter.
Yeah, I agree. Let's discuss about the length. I mean, like, sometimes people need to sell like for 1 minute, like to sell in elevator when you have the chance to speak with someone. Sometimes you have huge presentation in conference, can convince people for 30 minutes, then you can put call to action. So how to find this balance? I mean, let's imagine we speak about digital, only digital. So we have 1 minute sales in elevator, 30 minutes or an hour in conference. But for digital specific channel, how to find the best length?
Well, I wrote about this years ago. I say your elevator pitch is bass ackwards. I don't want to pitch. I want to disqualify you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, do I even want to be talking to you? And if so, I want to get your card so I can follow up with you. Okay. So, you know, getting other, hey, what do you do? I just, you know, depending on the conference, right? Because I can say different things. I'm a sales coach. You know, I do a little bit of like executive coaching, if you will, just helping people, you know, in leadership kind of get their head on straight. I sell CRMs. I sell software. I'm a keynote speaker. So depending on where I, so I don't want to say the wrong thing with, by just having one generic thing. So, you know, if I'm at a tech conference, you know, hey, what do you do? You know, I'm a reseller. I'm a partner here. What do you do? I answered as quick as I can, as generically as I can, you know, and you can tell by their response, oh, you're a reseller? Man, we're brand new at this. You know, we're considering buying the software. We're evaluating. Oh my gosh. Great meeting. What is your name? You know, you got a card? How can I follow up with you? You know, you want to talk about it later? You want to grab some coffee? You know, so I don't need a big pitch. Okay. So you got to figure out, I tell people all the time, like at trade shows, you don't even need a booth. You don't even need cards. Go walk around. Everybody's got big name badges on, you know, hey, Joe, what's going on? I mean, strike up a conversation. Oh my gosh. Hey, can we follow up? And now like the new iPhone, you can just touch them and they send your contact information. Right. And so I want to get your info so I can follow up. And so, cause it's rare that there's no magical, you know, spell you're going to cast on somebody. You know, like, what do you do? You know, and it's like, ooh, look into my eyes. I make software. You'll make more. You send me money. I'm going to send you money. Yes. I mean, it doesn't happen. Right. So when you talk with them, so like in your case, you know, you're selling Unmiss and, you know, it's like, what do you do? Say, you know, I've developed some software for small and medium businesses, you know, kind of declutter things and, help them get, you know, help them go from invisible to the top of the food chain, you know, online. What do you do? And so, you know, you want them to go, wait, what? You know, what do you mean? Say, well, now you can start asking them questions. You know, say, well, I've been in the CRM space a long time, right? So I would ask them, how familiar are you with CRMs? How familiar are you with SEO? So again, I'm very familiar. I'm an expert. I wrote a book on SEO. Okay, then maybe they're not a prospect. Maybe he is. Maybe he could be an advocate for you, right, and drive a lot of business. But based on, you know, say, well, I'm kind of familiar with it, but I mean, it's been kind of hit or miss. You go, yeah, like, have you subscribed to some tools and like that? Are they like too complex or, you know, too expensive or lock you into contracts? Yeah, man, all the above. Say, well, that's the problem I solve. Well, what do you mean? You're right. Say, we're not expensive. We're not complex. And you can reach me, the owner, at any time. What really? Oh my gosh. Oh, well, the elevator, you know, what's your name? Joe, you got a card? How can I reach you? You know, would you like to talk more? Yeah, I'd love to talk more about it. So, you know, it's just reality.
Yeah.
You know, people think they're going to say this one magical thing in 37 seconds and they're just going to hand you their Amex card, you know, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I say even, you know, all of our job in sales is to prospect. And when we prospect, we're disqualifying. You've got to set your own expectations properly.
Yeah.
Okay. We think, we're going to reach all these people. Everybody's going to be so happy to hear from me. And that's not true. You have to understand you're an interruption. And it's not personal. Okay. You're reaching out to people. Maybe it's the wrong time of day. Maybe they're an afternoon person and not a morning person. So they're not in the mood. You know, maybe, you know, you call in the morning and they're too busy, you know, getting the day started, getting deliveries out the door, whatever. Everything's got to be done by 10 a.m. So, you know, they're just frantic. They get in at 5. So they're frantic from 5 to 10, you know, so call them after lunch. Or maybe it's the end of the day and they're frantic at the end of the day. So I tell people, call early, you know, call in the morning before the receptionist gets in, call during lunch because the receptionist takes a lunch break, call after hours, call after 5 p.m. because the boss is still there working, getting stuff done because they give a crap. Yeah. You know, so you got to figure out what's going on in their lives and realize, don't take anything personally. Recognize some people are better in the morning, some better in the afternoon. You got to pay attention to all these things, document it, and then you can figure out, you know, when to reach out to them and with what message. But most people are paying $30, getting 10,000 names. You know, they got a $5 AI subscription. They got a $5 an hour overseas VA saying, here, send some emails for me. Now we're all getting 200 emails a day that are crap.
That's why
I say humanity is the next killer app. How can you use AI and email to kind of pique their interest? Then call them, text them, connect on LinkedIn and send a real message, not an AI message, you know, and get them to kind of perk up and take notice. And that it's going to take more time. I get it. Everybody's under the gun. So you need to have realistic expectations about, you know, how quickly can you convert someone? But this is sales is very much courtship. It's dating.
Got it.
You know,
Wes, I have my final question. I think it's important question for my audience about the future. So basically, we discuss about reality, what we have. We touch a little bit past, but I wanna learn just know your opinion about what can be, because some experts can say that AI can take all salespeople. Why? Because what we can see today, even Meta is trying to build a system when AI can learn customers and create the entire message to the their target audience without marketers, because today marketers can set up these paid ads to pay attention to creativity. Mark Zuckerberg said that they are going to do it. I don't know if it's possible or not. We'll see. I'm not here to predict the future because I'm terrible forecaster. I tried many times. I remember like 10 years ago, one of my friends came to me and asked, do you want to buy Bitcoin? I mean, like, it can become future money. I replied, no, I don't need it. Just take 1,000 Bitcoins, you know. So, I mean, like, you can become rich. I deny it. No, I don't need it. He asked, okay, take 100 Bitcoin. I replied, no, I don't need any Bitcoin. I don't need it. I don't know what is it. So forecast is not my strong side. But what I can see today, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Google is trying to connect directly customers and businesses without marketers, without salespeople to put this message. For example, on TikTok, we have it, on Instagram, when people can click the button and to buy a product. So your prediction about the future, because some experts can say that AI can take this job. What do you think?
I keep saying humanity is the next killer app. You know, I think the government will step in time and limit what AI can do legally. Because people get burned out and turned off by spam, you know, robocalls, right? We had all that. You know, you don't need salespeople. A robot's going to make the call and they'll answer the phone and make the sale. Like, AI is good. It will get better. I still think at our core, right, in the back of our brain, humans haven't changed. We're tribal creatures. Okay. It's why you see like so much money in sports. My team versus your team. You know, we want to know that we're in it together. I did a podcast years ago, a book review of a book called Deep Survival. And he analyzed like why people survive tough situations and why others don't. And one of the things they found was that people would tend to give up hope, you know, lost in the woods or something. And their biggest fear was that they'd never be seen or heard from again. So they wondered, like, what is my life? Am I worth anything? Like, what happens if I just vanish? And like despair would set in. So they had to fight that, you know? So we want to have experiences with other humans. It's just, it's in our DNA, right? I mean, even if you're not religious. You know, the book of Genesis has been around 3,000 or 4,000 years, okay, in a written format. That means it was spoken for probably 10,000 years before somebody wrote it down. So you can be agnostic, you can be an atheist, but you're a fool if you don't study that book. And like, why did this story of Adam and Eve, you know, God saw it wasn't good that Adam was alone, so he made Eve. Okay, why has that story survived for thousands of years? There's a lesson there. Okay, so.
To have billion people, or billion.
Yeah, and so you've got to pay attention. Like my son years ago, I laughed at him. You know, I was talking about Sun Tzu and the Art of War, right? That's like 2,500 years old. He's like, oh, that doesn't apply. I'm like, I almost wanted to slap him. I'm like, you better go read that book, boy. Everything is strategy. Everything is combat, really. You know, we're all jockeying for position. And so these old stories, you need to pay attention. So AI will streamline things. I mean, look, I'm old enough to remember, you know, dial-up, okay? And I remember 1995, 96, living in Biloxi, Mississippi, at Keesler Air Force Base. You know, we had like a 56.6 dial-up, and they had chat rooms. And we were chatting with people around the world. And like my wife, like, this is so cool. This person's in China. You know, this person's in Finland. Like, what? How is this possible? I didn't understand, like, how that was happening. Now we have video calls. Now you got your iPhone. You know, my son was in Buenos Aires a few weeks ago. My wife went down, spent a week down there. We could FaceTime as she's walking the streets. Look at this place. You know, so technology can bring us closer together, you know, or it can create distance. Because now, okay, she's, you know, 8,000 miles away. We can see one another. Now we can sit in the same room on the same couch. And now we're both lost in our phones, not conversing with one another. Does that make the relationship stronger or weaker, right? So all of this comes into play. When the internet came around, the role of the salesperson changed, okay? Before the internet, the salesperson was the keeper of the knowledge. If you wanted to go buy a car, you had to go in and haggle, okay? Meet with them. Now you can look up the MSRP of the car is right there online. I can do all my research. I can see which two or three dealerships have it. There's new ones. There's a couple of used ones. I get some ideas. I can haggle online. Then I can come in. Now the salesperson, now they have to help me have the confidence that I'm making the best decision. So before we didn't have enough information. Now we have too much information. Okay. So it's like, what do I do with all this? So can I, as the salesperson, build trust with the prospect and say, I understand you're looking at A, B, and C. You say your goals are 1, 2, and 3. You know, if number one is truly number one, then you need to go with B because of this, this, and this. If one and two are kind of even, then I'd recommend you go with A. But, you know, what do you think? Oh, okay, that's a good point. Yes, thank you very much. I'll go with A. So there's always going to be, you know, a need for that human touch.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Got it. Yeah, so, humans connect with humans. But who knows, Wes, probably like next time when I will invite you to this podcast, you can say me, AI avatar can represent me, and I can tell, okay, my AI avatar, I can speak with you as well. But, you know, it's interesting data, 46% of people follow at least one AI influencer today. So I like some faceless videos on YouTube, you know,
sure,
made by AI. I listen to podcasts with AI voice, you know, and it's quality. I care about value. If it's valuable, I can listen. So basically, if you can tell me my AI avatar will come and your AI avatar will bring value, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so, you bet.
Yeah, but of course, connection with humans, yeah, will be always, always.
Yes, yeah. You bet.
Thank you, Wes, for your time. A lot of valuable bombs. You know how to bring value. It's not the first time you speak. It's third time on my podcast. Yeah, much appreciated for that. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
I'll put it there in the chat. It's just my website, my name, wesschafer.com/daily. So I've got a free daily email. Check that out and send some little nugget every day. These are longer, like I said, but you know, bookmark them, come back to them later. But it's all about sales, marketing, connecting. You know, how to stand out in today's crazy, noisy world.
Nice, guys. I recommend to anyone to follow Wes. I will put this link to this website in the description below. You can find it. I recommend to anyone to check out whatever happens, because you can see today it's a quickly changing world. People are still people, but technologies are growing. We need to consider these technologies, how to adapt. Thanks a lot, Wes. A big pleasure. Yeah. Welcome back anytime to bring mobile your bombs.